97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, 4 o'clock hour. We have Suze News coming up here. Paul Hall on entertainment. It's a big weekend for the Cardinals, even though they have kind of slid out of the playoff picture. It's the Cubs in town, so we always have fun. And Yachty's going to be on the bench, like dressed in his uniform tonight, which is interesting as well. So we'll ask Frank about that. But the weather is starting to ramp up. We had some mild weather. The humidity, you know how much I love the dew point, Sue. The dew point was significantly lower. It does feel a little warmer. You know, you get a week like earlier in this part of the week, you think about September, which is now only a few weeks away. But meteorologist Dave Murray is with us this afternoon with an update as we kind of ramp up. And your part of the world out there, West, you got wildfires going again, don't you?
Yeah, they're north of L.A. for the most part. The only effect that we are seeing is some haze in this, you know, smoky haze in the upper atmosphere. Really notice it at sunrise and sunset. That's really about it. You can't smell it. You can't do anything. But it's a brutally hot day here. It's 78 right now. That's hot. That's hot for around here.
It's been so nice when those dew points are lower, when the temperatures are only in the 80s. It's amazing compared to the, you know, 105, 106 feels like temperature. But is that where we're heading back here for the next few days?
Yeah, for the most part. I don't think the humidity is going to and the dew points are going to get off the charts, but it's going to be hot. Temperature, we're not going to hit 100 in this particular stretch. We'll be in the, you know, 90 to 95 for the most part over the next several days. Humidity levels, you know, we'll feel it, but it's not going to be like we saw in July. It's not going to be that washcloth feel, but to some people it will be, you know, kind of icky, kind of nasty at times to be out and about depending on what you're doing. But it's I call this kind of run-of-the-mill St. Louis weather. We're talking 95 tomorrow, 93 on Sunday. Could be a couple of spot thunderstorms Sunday afternoon. I think they'll be hard to find. There is a cool front that's going to try to get in here during the day on Monday. Should be a few more scattered thunderstorms around on Monday. Not convinced how far that front gets through. If we can get it even 50 miles to our south, which is tough in the summertime. But if we do, we could see temperatures in the upper 80s come Tuesday, Wednesday of next week.
I will take that, yes. Dave Murray.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Any temperature in August that starts with an 8, you take.
Yes, amen. 100%.
I don't know what it is, but this summer in particular, maybe just because of my health issues, I've disliked the heat more than any other time in
Me
the past
too.
10 years, probably.
Well, you'll be happy to be here where it's 66.
Well, that's true. The studio
Dave,
is 66.
My sister-in-law sent a picture this morning of her car, you know, the thermometer, and they live in Arizona. Yep. It was 125. Ooh. So if you want to feel better... Yeah. Think
but it's
about
a dry
that.
Heat, Sue. Oh,
what?
It's a dry heat.
Oh, exactly. I you beat me to it. It's
a dry heat.
All right, Dave Murray. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
See you, Dave. I have a few stories that I do want to share over the course of the next few days now that I'm back on the air. And I suppose, let's see if I have time for this. I don't have time for my near arrest. Fred, did I tell you about my near arrest?
No.
It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Wait, you were a victim?
No, I was just almost handcuffed and put in the hooskow. But no, I'll tell
that
story.
But you have my cell phone, right?
Yes, believe me. No, I have Brad Young as my savior. Let me tell you something. I owe him a lot because of some legal difficulties. But I wanted to go over because when we started the summer, right there in the beginning part of June, and Jane and... Fred, did you ever meet Max? You never met him, did you?
No,
my puppy.
Max is awesome.
Little puppy that's not so little anymore. We adopted him from the Humane Society, and we get him in the house, and he's very tiny. He's like 8 weeks old, very, very small. He's got big paws. Everyone's like, whoa, that's going to be a big dog. Well, he is turning into a big dog, and now he's, you know, maybe 4.5 months old. He was born in mid-March, but we did the DNA test. So
Did
I send you the results?
You did.
I
saw very that. Interesting. Sorry about that,
Fred, I sent those to you too, right? Okay, so not a surprise for you guys, but the guess on the breed and what they said at the Humane Society was maybe Border Collie. We knew Lab was probably in there, right?
Lab
like Border
and
Collie,
border
maybe Australian Shepherd. But when I did the, and this is a group called Embark, or Embark is the company that did the DNA test, it came back in a rather surprising way. 36.9% was Siberian Husky.
I did not see
The but hair. The hair, though.
And the eyes.
Yes, those steel blue
eyes.
Yeah,
they had the blue eyes.
I thought it had to be some kind of wolf.
Well, that was a surprise. We did not have Husky on the bingo card. Then it says 30% Lab, 20.9% Pit Bull Terrier, and then they put Super Mutt as a category, which means he's 12.2% of just
everything.
So he's a mutt. I mean, basically, that's how my previous dog, the one who passed away in May, Duke, was a mutt as well. But I'm telling you, Siberian Husky. Now, this is the one thing about Huskies. We all love our dogs. All our dogs have different tendencies. Fred, you have a little dog. I have a little dog. I'll never get a little dog again. I'd rather have a big dog. Sue has bulldogs. Jane has a little dog. But this dog, Huskies do something where they talk a little bit. You aware of that?
Yeah.
Where there's howling.
I love it.
Involved.
I watch videos on it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know if it's hilarious going to be all the time when he's an adult.
No, not
but...
in the middle of the night, but for you, it's funny.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's funny for me when it's
but,
you.
No, but he is doing fantastic. And, since I've tried to get into a bit of a more regular schedule, I've gotten him out to some parks recently and done some run walks. I can't run the whole way because I'm out of shape, but we'll get some sprints on. And he is an athlete. There's no doubt about that. But the amount of growth that he's had just in the time that I brought him to see you about, 6 weeks ago,
Sue? Yeah.
Don't they keep bumping him up in his classes to like a different size group?
Yeah, at No Leash Needed, they took him pretty quickly out of the puppy area, and we were told the other day that he may not smell too good because there was a Great Dane that was with him that was slobbering all over him, and that was fine as well. But no, the summer with the puppy has gone pretty good. I was so mad two mornings ago, because I've been the one that's getting him up in the morning and letting him out, and he had not had an accident in 3 weeks, and he's had very few, mainly because I stay on top of it. The family stays on top of it. We've only really allowed him to roam on the first floor. When he's super tired, I'll take him downstairs and put him on the couch, but I don't want him on the carpet.
Right.
So it was like 3 weeks, and he had not had an accident. And then, of course, I dozed off a little bit after letting him out one morning this week, and he broke the streak. But other than that...
That's not bad.
No,
it really
it's not.
Isn't.
And he still has a lot of growing to go. I should have probably brought some pictures and posted some stuff, but we'll do that as we get into next week as well. Let's take a break. We got Sue's News on a... All right, we have Sue's News coming up. Cusumano at the end of the hour. The Cubs are in town. Yachty will be on the bench dressed in his Cardinals uniform tonight, which is an interesting angle. The soccer team back in action, ready to kick out political folks tomorrow night. Paul Hall will come up here on entertainment in just a few minutes. I actually saw Freakier Friday with my daughter, which opened up yesterday. It was all right. Yeah.
All right.
It was, and I had seen all of the Freaky Fridays, in the lead up to this because we knew it was coming out. So it wasn't too bad. Interestingly enough, I also saw Fantastic Four. And I did not like Fantastic Four.
Nobody did. It got...
okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be so good. It was not. We'll talk about it, though, coming up here with Paul. But let's do this here.
Are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Mark, I'm going to have insect news eventually.
Oh, beautiful.
What a welcome back.
See? But I do have some music up front. Not this one. Okay, on this day in history, 149 years ago, that was 1876 when Thomas Edison received a patent for the mimeograph. And those of us who went to school in the 70s and the 80s at any time before that, remember getting mimeographed homework assignments. And if they came to you fresh, you always had to sniff them.
What a great smell.
You put them on your face.
Yes, yeah. On your face.
It's really the only exciting part about school.
Sadly, that's true. But this has some music. 56 years ago today, in 1969, the Beatles did that photo shoot for the cover of their Abbey Road album. And you can hear this and just kind of picture it, can't you? Any Beatles song. Paul McCartney had his daughter film him crossing it again in 2018.
Aww. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Now,
great anniversary.
I picked that song out today for Mark's return. How about
thank
that?
You. I like that. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm the opposite of the sun, but thank you for being generous.
Yes. And then we go from that great music to 45 years ago today in 1980 when Olivia Newton-John made Xanadu.
Hey, this was a big record,
it
right?
It was.
Place where nobody dared to go. The love that we
I'll tell you, I saw her at the Checker Dome. I don't know if it was on this tour, but it was in that period of the early 80s. Olivia Newton-John right there at the arena.
That would have been
Let's
cool.
Get physical tour?
I think it was. I think it was the physical tour.
Oh, my gosh.
There was lots of leg warmers.
Leg warmers and the outfits. This was her first movie after Grease, and it was just a box office disaster. But this is ELO. So this song did okay.
Right.
You know?
I know the words to this, but I don't know where my car keys are.
Yeah, I understand.
Isn't that weird the way that works?
Really, really do.
I experience that every week when I'm listening. You know, I've proclaimed my love for John Mayer and his SiriusXM station. And he gets very eclectic. I'm not sure he's played any Olivia Newton-John, but he's not too far off from that sometimes. And I think about the lyrics of these 70s songs in particular. And they just come right back. And it might be a song we haven't heard in a decade
or two. Oh, for sure.
How your brain just keeps it in the vault.
It is National Dollar Day, National Pickleball Day, which,
wow.
Which we all love. Mm. And that's only, I think this is only the fifth year for it. Mark sent me an article about it today. But they have all kinds of different pickleballs. It's International Pickleball. They have all kinds. Today is National Pickleball Day. Wow. But it's also.
Is there Dill Pickleball Day?
No, thank you for asking, Fred.
Good call,
and
Fred.
There's National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day. That's today, too.
Oh,
so
wait, okay.
Onto the porch or off of the porch?
It says onto it.
Okay.
It's being nice not to be a thief.
That's right.
So just donate a zucchini to a neighbor?
Yeah, because a lot of people grow zucchini. It goes a little nuts.
Okay.
So then you distribute it among the neighbors.
Who knew? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that does happen.
It does.
By the way, a strong pickleball theme in Freakier Friday.
Really?
I must tell you that right now. Yes. That pickleball plays a very important role in the plots of that movie. That's all I'm going to say.
I nearly broke my face being pickleball, so I'll not be attending.
Really?
Pickleball. Yeah.
It's so fun.
I left it all out on the court.
Well, you
tell
did. You're Jane.
Including my nose.
That's what you do.
Yep.
Astronaut Jim Lovell has passed away. He was 97. And remember when they were worried about going to the moon? What will it do to you long term? It will have you live to be 97.
Terrible.
He was the commander of the near-tragic Apollo 13 mission. He passed away today. He was a veteran of four space flights, the Geminis and a couple of Apollos, Apollo 8 and Apollo 13. All right, ChatGPT just got a big upgrade. They just did the launch of GPT-5. Now, OpenAI claims it's supposed to be faster, smarter, and better at everything from writing to math to coding to giving advice. But they claim it also hallucinates less. And I thought, what?
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Okay, well, it turns out that's when AI invents information instead of admitting it doesn't know.
Oh, my God, it's a man.
Yes! Yes!
Okay,
yes!
I got to hand it to you on that one. That was pretty good.
I win the day!
Oh my gosh, truer words were
thank
never
you,
spoken.
Thank you,
I saw something really funny the other day. It was, I guess, a graph of the rate of usage of, I don't know if it was ChatGPT or some
just
AI
all
company.
All AI. Yeah.
And once we got from May to June, it completely dropped off. You know what else ends in May? School.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, hardcore drop-off. It's crazy to me.
And you know, I think we may have talked about this even before I took my little respite here, is that the college professors, I think we all remember these. Ethan, you probably don't. We used to have these things called blue books. And that's how you would take your test. And you'd have to... I'm convinced that I got good grades at Mizzou only because my professors and their teaching assistants gave up on reading my stuff. They were just like, we're not... This penmanship is so bad. We're
going
to give them a B or a B plus maybe. But they're going back to that a little bit more, like even in law school, et cetera, because of the cheating and because of the AI stuff.
And it's really hard to track. I mean... like you have to do a lot to really catch somebody in the whole kind of plagiarism thing. So it's not going to get any easier.
Nope.
And I think they're...
Well, because if you just say to them, you know, hey, write a paper on this subject, it will do it, right?
It will do it. And then, you know, I mean, I've even gone and said, hey, you know, draft me a contract that does A, B, and C.
Right.
I mean, now I have to read it and probably change a lot of it, but it, you know, it's a start.
It is a start. And you know, we're only on level one.
I know.
It scares the hell out of me. It really does.
I get it.
Remember when Eric Schmidt was in the congressional baseball game, I created this cool little open for him, right? Mm-hmm. And I wrote the open. Fred, you should try this with The Price is Wrong because you always do. We should actually, this would be a good experiment. So with that, I wrote it and Becky's like, oh, send it to me. I'll put it into ChatGPT. And she puts it in there, and I thought mine was pretty good. It cleaned it up. It made it sharper. It was better. But
it's
Fred does the prize for The Price is Wrong. He does the no case, as we call it. We should experiment with that and just see what they would come up with, because yours are great, but I'd just be curious to see how it would compare. Yeah. Might be a little bit harder to do the AI.
Yeah, for them to get the jokes that Fred does.
It's amazing. It really is, and it's scary amazing.
Well, the Batman Part 2 will film in the spring, and it's expected to hit theaters October 1st, 2027. I only bring this up because Universal started adding a message to the credits of its movies that it, quote, may not be used to train AI. So also coming up in the future will be stuff like this. And I don't know how you could possibly control that, right? Somebody could use it to train it if they wanted to. Hmm. But yeah, that's how it is. Okay, we have insect news.
Oh!
So exciting. Are you ready for that?
Well, the joy. One,
I do have to do this, though, because there's
gotta,
things.
Got to turn out the music.
All right, now
okay,
we
go. Okay.
It's time for insect news.
I am not saying that this one is particularly family friendly.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to say that up front. Researchers have discovered four new types of tarantulas.
Yeah.
And compared to their body, their reproductive organs are massive.
Really?
So we have found...
Wow.
Men again.
Some...
Do they just think they're massive?
I was going to say, what kind of definition of, you know, 8 inches do they use?
Again.
Double it.
Just saying.
But it's compared to their body. So you can look these four new tarantulas up and say, okay, well, that does seem large. So we have four new types of endowed tarantulas that have been found.
Wow. You know what they're going to name
them.
Well,
good for them.
Clydesdale tarantula.
Oh, that may buy, maybe.
Maybe.
In moon news, NASA is fast-tracking plans to build a nuclear reactor on the moon. We were talking about this earlier in the week. We're in a race with China to get to the first moon base built up there.
Okay, why are we doing this?
I guess we just want to be the first ones.
Like, we're colonizing the moon. Isn't that what people are accusing us of doing?
So we're going to have energy? We're going to have light on the moon? Or
Maybe we want to, is it a weapon? I don't know.
Well, if you see the Fantastic Four, they'll explain it to you.
Oh, will they?
Part of the plot of the Fantastic Four.
Maybe we'll just have you tell us later.
Is it real?
Yeah. Okay. And in Windex news, Chinese scientists have created self-cleaning glass. I kind of wondered when this would happen. It uses built-in electrodes to remove dust and other particles from its surface. And how that works, I don't know.
Like soap scum? Because that's
worst. Maybe. That is kind of worse. Okay, oh, I loved this. Okay, Macaulay Culkin was on the latest episode of Hot Ones, and he was asked to fact-check some rumors about Home Alone. Okay, for starters, did you know his stunt double was a very short 30-year-old man?
No, I had no idea.
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
And when you watch it again, you can't unsee it. Okay, his name was Larry.
He has to be a very short and skinny man, too.
Yes. Okay, the guy's name was Larry, and Macaulay was 9 years old at the time, and he knew Larry was, quote, much older. Well, according to him, he thought he was 13. Because he was
hilarious.
Only nine. He's like, this guy's old.
That's funny.
I think he's 13. And Macaulay remembered being worried about Larry when he had to do a stunt where he falls from a collapsed shelf. Quote, it was a vicious first take. They didn't like the way everything felt. They had to do it again, and they do it again, and I'm going, man, please take it easy on Larry. He's only 13. I thought really that was awesome.
That's hilarious.
I have a good friend who is Anne Hathaway's stunt double, and I saw some Instagram photos this week. They're on a movie set. I mean, she looks, Jane Beard is her name, she looks exactly like Anne Hathaway.
Is it the Devil Wears Prada 2? Is that what she's doing?
Maybe it is.
I bet.
What kind of stunts do they need in the Devil Wears
Prada? You just never know.
Walking in heels?
Exactly.
That's about it.
That's
finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. The Flintstones promoted Winston cigarettes through its first two seasons with commercials that aired during the show of characters smoking. It's the most bizarre thing. It's horrible.
Are you
but
kidding
you can
me?
Watch this on YouTube. I didn't believe it, and I watched it. I thought, wow, look, that is horrible.
Unbelievable. There's a good random smoking fact. Thank you, Sue. Friday's edition in the books. Well, you know, our friend Paul Hall, who handles entertainment here on a Friday afternoon, he always listens to the show in advance, and he sends a picture. First of all, let me welcome him. And Paul, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Mark. Welcome back, and I'm glad to be back. I missed last week myself, so for those of you who want to know what that was all about, check out commonguy.com. I had all the details
up
there.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. I know your father passed away, so I'm sorry to hear that. But you heard us talking about Xanadu, and you flipped around a picture of the vinyl on your desk. That you like,
nice.
Is that you pay homage to Olivia Newton-John, or what's
okay
going on there?
I love
her. I do. She has a little corner in the office. Actually, a friend of mine in that I work with brought in, she said she knew I loved Olivia, so she brought in a copy of the album that she had around the house, and that was my childhood crush, Mark. When I was growing up, I remember watching the TV show Fridays, and it would have late night music going on, and she sung Suddenly alongside Cliff Richard, and I was a little kid, you know, a little boy, and she kissed him at the end, and my heart was broken.
Wow.
Now, is there a restraining order, or are we okay? You don't have
no, she passed away, so we're okay.
Okay, I meant, okay, so you didn't stalk her before then. Okay, good.
I'm not going to say one way or another. I don't take this questioning from lawyers very good, okay?
Sorry about that.
Understandably. Hey, let's talk about what's out this week. Here's one, Freakier Friday.
You two are called to be family.
Yeah, right. Don't remind me.
You've walked in each other's path. You learned a lesson that may serve you again.
Okay, that's enough.
Oh my God, what is happening?
Okay, it's
who am I?
It's me, it's Mom.
If you're me and I'm you, then who's that?
I'm Grandma, sweetheart.
You know, some of us remember that there was a Freaky Friday in the 1970s, but this is a sequel to the original story with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. It's interesting, Paul, because you and I, we've done this movie stuff together for many, many years. I have been a film critic in the past. I kind of retired from that 4 years ago, but this is one that I actually saw before you. I took my daughter yesterday because I had one more day of the leave before I got back here this afternoon. It is certainly not something that I would go out and seek out on my own. However, I think it hits the target audience. The story here is Lindsay Lohan, who looks great, by the way, and I know that she had her problems when she was younger. She's a producer of this movie as well, and it's 22 years after she and her mom switched places, or identities, if you will. Tess Coleman, that's Jamie Lee Curtis. Now, of course, Lindsay Lohan's character has a daughter, and you have her about to marry someone who has a stepdaughter, and they end up switching places. I'll be honest, it's a little hard to keep track of all the switching places. But for the target audience, and I did mention, we mentioned it's like National Pickleball Day, pickleball plays a little role. I thought Jamie Lee Curtis was really good in this role. So for me, the acting kind of carries it. There are some funny moments. My daughter loved it. So I'd say this is a recommendation from me if you're in the target audience. Guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you're, you know, 48 years old and you're looking for something to go see this afternoon or tomorrow, don't go see Freakier Friday. But for families, I thought it was pretty good. And it's PG. It's not even PG-13. So I
That's
like that.
Nice. Yeah.
What about for those of us guys in our 50s? Can we go see it by ourselves?
No,
is that
I don't
okay?
think you would.
No,
I don't
that
think
would be
you
weird.
Should. And by the way, I always criticize, I think people in that demographic should see animated films, because there used to be at least
Absolutely.
Really good animated films that a lot of people would avoid because they would always assume that they were kids' movies, but that's not necessarily the case. All right, what do you have for us this week?
The other big new openers this week, Weapons is in theaters now. I don't know, do you have a clip for that one, Mr. Reardon?
So this one Wednesday is like a normal day for the whole school, but today was different. Every other class had all their kids. But Mrs. Gandhi's room was totally empty. And do you know why? Because the night before, at 2:17 in the morning, every kid woke up, got out of bed, walked downstairs, and into the dark. And they never came back.
All right, I've heard a little buzz on this one. Sounds a little scary, right?
It's a little creepy. In fact, it's a lot creepy. For two-thirds of this movie, I was right in with it. It's the story of these kids. They just get up and leave the classroom, and you start getting the tale about what may or may not have happened along the way. And what they do is they tell it in the narrative where you go from one character to the next, and you follow that character through their narrative. Then you go to another character, follow that character through the narrative. Some people won't like the fact that it kind of jumps back and forth because you're starting with the other character's point of view. However, it does take a way to build up some tension, and it makes you feel your skin crawl at times leading up to it. That said, you get to the last third of the movie, and it almost kind of went off the rails a bit for me. I'm going to step out from most of the critics on this who absolutely adore it. In the end, I found the theater I was in laughing when I didn't think they were supposed to laugh, instead of the chuckle-worthy scenes that may have been, you know, put in to break up some tension. And the laughter not being intentional, more or less, it being kind of making fun of parts of the movie. That said, it's a good movie. It's not a great movie. Weapons is, it's about a little over 2 hours in theaters now if you're into a little creepy stuff.
Let me go back to last weekend, because I saw, and I was really looking forward, there's two movies that I really wanted to see this summer, and I've kind of gotten back into the habit of seeing films in the theaters. I went to see, you know, How to Train Your Dragon 2, or I guess just the original. It wasn't the sequel, it's the original of the sequel, or it's the remake of the original. Did I get that right? But I went and saw Fantastic Four, and I thought the trailer for Fantastic Four looked marvelous. I was so excited about seeing the movie. I thought the cast looked good. Paul, I disliked it a lot. Oh. I was so let down by
that
movie.
That's sad.
Yeah, because, well, this is what the marketing people do. Yeah, I really did want to like it. What did you say about it last week?
I did not see that. That was part of what went on when I was dealing with personal life. So I kind of missed it. I haven't been back to it quite yet. It is kind of getting decent buzz out there. So like I am with Weapons, you kind of step off a little bit from the main critical buzz. But quite frankly, that's the interesting thing. We don't have a whole lot of movies this summer that are kind of universally acclaimed, where everybody is kind of going lockstep, either good or bad. Now, we do have one over on Prime Video that's getting universal acclaim the wrong way. I don't know if you heard about this one, Mark. No. War of the Worlds.
Oh.
No, I haven't heard about that at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. Retelling with Ice Cube in the lead role.
Okay.
And this is, you don't have to turn on Prime Video for this one. Let's just put it that way.
Wow.
It totally goes off the rails, and everything you know about War of the Worlds, kind of throw it out. As people have said before me, they've reported they think this is more or less an Amazon Video for an hour and a half on their Prime platform. Hmm. This is really a disaster when it comes to how creepy we all know that whole narrative to be. When you did War of the Worlds right, it definitely could scare the pants off folks. They didn't do it right here. It had some people in it that you know. You kind of hoped it would work. It doesn't at all. Right now, over on IMDb, you're looking at 2.8 out of 10 for the rest of the world. That's not good.
By the way, I just cross-referenced Rotten Tomatoes on Fantastic Four, and this is stunning to me, and I didn't know this. 86% positive reviews, 91% from the audience. So I'm clearly the outlier on Fantastic Four. But I just didn't like it at all. I just thought it was boring. And these superhero movies, they turn into the same thing,
yes.
Right? A lot of these films, it's always the end of the world, and you got to save, you know, everyone from the bad guy. I wanted a little bit more levity, a little bit more humor in that. And, you know, I don't know that it's a whole lot better than that last incarnation, unfortunately.
Mm. All right, check out Rotten Tomatoes for War of the Worlds as well. You will be stunned when you see where that one ends up over there. Also in theaters right now, you've got Sketch. This is kind of supposed to be a kid's film, but it's really not. It's when sketches come to life on the big screen from Angel Studios. It's a lot scarier than I think a lot of people going into it think. just that's my forewarning to folks. It's not a bad movie. It's just very a lot scarier for a kid's movie than you expect. Basically, girls' drawings of grief coming to life and creating these monsters that kind of take over an area. Over on Prime 2, you have The Pickup with Eddie Murphy and Pete Davidson. This one I liked quite lot better than a lot of these other ones. It's funny. It's light. I love Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy works here. Is it one of those films you're going to go, but you know, talk about at the end of the year? Probably not. But you can do a lot worse than spending 2 hours with this film. It's a lot of fun for most people.
Say it again. The name is what?
The Pickup. Mm-hmm. It's a armored car heist kind of gone wrong. And Eddie and Pete play two armored car drivers who basically get their armored car stolen for something else by Kiki Palmer. And the characters are nice. They're likable. I enjoyed it. For a Prime movie, it's definitely up there.
You know, and I love the sometimes I think we all experience this. I can probably name a handful of actors that I didn't like. Look, I've had people tell me that they hated me when they first heard me on the radio, and now they love me. Sure. The opposite certainly happens as well. But Pete Davidson was always a guy that I just didn't get.
Same.
He was so weird. I really have grown to like him, and I'm interested in this movie because I think he has some depth that I, you know, underestimated in the past. So that one is streaming it on what streaming platform?
That's on Prime Video,
okay.
And
nice.
You've got the first two episodes now of Platonic Season 2 with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne over on Apple TV+. I quite like those, and Season 2 is off to a good start. Two episodes up now, an episode a week. I've seen quite a few, and you'll have a good time through that series.
Can I make one recommendation on Netflix? This
you
is not
it.
A new show. This is a show that came out, I think, even 10 years ago. I watched it on Amazon Prime at the time. Jane, I think we talked about it, called Sneaky Pete with Giovanni Ribisi and Marilyn Ireland. Marin, I think, is her name. It's also produced by Bryan Cranston, and I think he directs some of the episodes.
Ooh, yeah.
So it was an Amazon Prime original. I guess what they do is they, you know, they ship those off to other platforms.
Right.
It just went on Netflix about a week and a half ago.
Oh, really?
I rewatched the whole damn three
Did
seasons.
Did you really?
And it's really
That's
good.
Fun.
It's one of those shows. I would put the show Goliath in that category with Billy Bob, which was also a Prime show. But Sneaky Pete, if you're looking for something that's compelling, Margot Martindale is in it. She's always great. It's a good little, you know, crime thriller, if you will, if you want to check that out. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
SimpleCommonGuy.com.
All right, we'll talk next Friday. Thank you very much.
Sounds good.
We got Cusimano coming up. David Strom, one of my favorites from HotAir.com, just around the corner after the news at 5 o'clock, and also our friend Tim Summer, who writes for the Rock and Roll Globe. He's our music guy, and we got a bunch of music stuff to focus in on. Actually, one of the stories I want to do, Sue, I don't know if you saw, you see or hear about what Sabrina Carpenter did with Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh, no.
Oh, you're going to love this. This is fantastic.
Good.
Really, really cool
Earth,
story.
Wind,
so we'll
fire.
Get to that. I know you do. And that's even if you don't know who Sabrina Carpenter is, you'll still like this story. It happened at Lollapalooza last week. Jane Duker's still hanging out. We got Frank Cusimano, KSDK sports director. And we have the Cubs in town for the start, Frank, of a 9-game homestand. The Cardinals are back in town.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, it probably doesn't have quite the buzz that a Cardinal-Cubs series normally would have. But this one has a little bit of intrigue, and that's because of the news of Yadier Molina was coming to St. Louis. He called Ali Marmol, and Ali said, hey, why don't you put on a uniform and be in the dugout? So he's going to be there for the next 2 days, and I think that creates a little bit more buzz for this series.
Frank, what does this say to you about Yadier Molina? About Ali Marmol. We know there has been so much noise the last couple of years, people calling for Ali's job, saying, we want Albert to have this. We want Yadi to have this position. What does it say about him, knowing the good that it'll do for the fans, for his players to be around a guy like that? I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, if you were to ask, 100 Cardinal fans, who would they want to be the manager, Ali Marmol or Yadier Molina? It would be like 90-10 Yadi. And now they're all wrong, but that's the way this town feels about Yadier Molina. So it shows that Ali's really comfortable in his own skin. It would be like if Monique says, you know, we're going to have John Hamm over for the weekend. Well, I think I would protest.
I support
it,
that.
It wouldn't be a good thing. Yeah, yeah. I'd be out real quickly. So, here's the thing with Yadi is that he was put on the job as a consultant, and he really didn't consult. We didn't see him in spring training. We haven't seen him at Busch Stadium for 3 years. So this is not a job audition. I think it's just, create some goodwill. and kind of a disappointing season without a buzz. There'll be a little bit of a buzz this weekend with him in the dugout.
So what's the goal here then for this series and for the rest of the season? Obviously, things have changed with the standings in the last 5 or 6 weeks. The trade deadline came and the Cardinals did what they had to do. But what are you doing now as far as bringing younger talent in, assessing the pitching staff that we have? Because obviously, you're already pointed toward next season and beyond.
No doubt about it. It's a great point. And one of those pitchers, Michael McGreevy, he's going to start tonight. He'll start the rest of the season. I think we're also going to see Nolan Gorman play a lot of third base. God bless Nolan Arenado, but I think we should give this guy as much playing time at third base as possible, and the same for Jordan Walker in right field. Right now, I think you have a 8% chance of making the playoffs. This is an opportunity for the young players. Let me give you one other name, Mark. Quinn Matthews, who was the minor league pitcher of the year last year. He's had some growing pains this year, but he's had back-to-back scintillating starts. There's no reason that Miles Michaelis should start another game for the Cardinals. They should have Quinn Matthews in this rotation and pitching every fifth day from here on out.
Huh. You know, that's an interesting point, and Quinn Matthews has been really good. I wonder if they are to do it, if they wait until, you know, you get past the 45 days remaining threshold so you don't waste a year of service. But it is an interesting thought. Another pitching option perhaps that they may have is, you know, we've seen them not be afraid to stretch Kyle Lahey here in the last, what it would be, 4 weeks probably. We've seen it a couple of times where he goes a little bit longer in those relief outings. Would you like to see him, because of the mix that he has, maybe get an opportunity to be an opener or something like that, Frank?
Absolutely. And, you know, his ERA has been under 3 the entire season. I mean, if somebody could give me a good reason why in a year where you're not going to make the postseason, you're trotting out Miles Michaelis every fifth day in August and September, I'd like to hear it, because there is none. They finally parted ways with Eric Fetty. Why not give these guys a chance? Another opportunity here, Mark, to answer your first question was, we should find out about Ivan Herrera in left field. I mean, we're seeing that he's kind of athletic. We know, you know, he can stop balls, sliders going 98 miles an hour. You think he can catch fly balls in left field. Why should the Cardinals be the only team in baseball that doesn't have outfielders that hit 25 home runs with an 800 OPS?
Yeah. I'm with you on that one for sure. And by the way, when it comes to the division, I just looked at this. I knew the Brewers, they still have the best record in baseball. They have a 4-game lead over the Cubs, so the Cardinals can actually help the Brewers out quite a bit this weekend. And they have pitching, don't they?
They really do. They're like just one of the great success stories in professional sports. With that payroll and the consistent winning they do, they're unbelievable. Mark, they have a third baseman who is from Washington University, who is now has a close to an 800 OPS. They brought him up. I mean, everything they do, it just turns to gold. The Brewers are what the Cardinals used to be.
They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They've won 6 in a row. They're 70-44. The Dodgers are 66-49. So it will be interesting to see, you know, if the Cubs can get back into the race for the division. And, you know, maybe there's some motivation for the Cardinals and the Cardinals fans, because we know, like, we like to beat the Cubs. Although, you know, I still think the Cubs are for real. And it's all about PCA this weekend, right? How many times are we going to hear that?
Yeah, he is a special talent, no doubt about it.
All right, what else is going on this weekend? What do you got coming up on Sunday?
Okay, Mark, I know you play some pickleball, and Josh Schertz, was the head basketball coach for the Billikens, was a tennis prodigy, and he's now into pickleball. So we do an interview with he and I playing pickleball, and it's amazing thoughtful and eloquent he can be while he's smashing the ball, you know, as hard as he can down in my face. So we're going to chat with him. We're also going to chat with a woman by the name of Michelle Smallman. She's one of the rising stars at ESPN, one of the rising females in the sports industry. She was a former intern of mine at KSDK, and now she's blowing up at ESPN.
Wow.
She's an Althoff girl and just a terrific person.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Quickly going back to pickleball, because you are quite the pickleball player yourself, and I know that your wife is. So are you saying that Schertz is better than you are, Frank Cusumano?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, all right, I'm just making sure.
No, he's a good player. Yeah, he's a good player. Hey, Mark, I just want to say it's so great to have you back. We had great people substituting for you, but this show is not the same without you, and it's just great to have you back, buddy.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Frank, and have a great weekend.
All right, take care.
And I addressed this at the beginning of the show. We didn't go into great detail because we had the roundtable, but I was on a work stoppage because it was too cold in the studio, and I told Sue, I'm not coming back until they adjust the temperature.
And yeah. What did they do?
The temperature was even worse than when I left,
unfortunately. We are both snuggled in...
Mental health crisis that sort of hit me kind of hard, and, you know, it is something that I've talked about in the past, and I will talk about a little bit more probably next week as well, but I am back in the saddle, back on the horse right now.
Get more at 971talk.com.